Jim Baichtal watches a stream stair-step its way down a gentle waterfall and into a limestone pit.
The water comes out of a big forested wetland beaver pond complex and goes into this portion of the cave. There's many other places that water goes in to this cave system. This is just the largest stream that sinks.
Beaver Falls drains into the little-known realm of the karstlands of northern Prince of Wales Island. It and other waterways leave the rainforest surface through a variety of sinkholes, cracks, and other cave entrances. They feed into a maze of wide tunnels and narrow tubes, penetrating the limestone that underlies this part of southeast Alaska. Baichtal, a Forest Service geologist, and Catherine Prussian, an agency hydrologist, have been learning more about where the water goes and what happens to it along the way. Only a limited number of underground channels are passable, so they've dropped non-toxic fluorescent pink, green, orange, and purple dye into the water. They've traced its route using absorbent charcoal packets placed at a variety of outlets. Prussian says the research has produced some surprises. One is a route starting at an underground entrance not far from Beaver Falls.
We found that at low flows or most flow conditions where we put the dye, drain west on the island. However, at some higher flows, we've also found water from that same location flowing east. And we would never been able to figure that out had we not been able to use these dye trace methods.
They've discovered other examples of outlets changing when water flow rises. Baichtal says a karst system's outlet can be more like a braided river delta than a tunnel.
We have one particular place about a half mile from here that we put dye in that traveled a mile to the shoreline, and it came out at 13 different springs over a mile and a half swath of the outer coast in a 24-hour period.
More research may take place, but the information collected so far shows that underground flow has implications for salmon and trout habitat protection. Prussian says cave water can move quickly to another part of the forest without some of the changes that take place in creeks and streams.
It doesn't necessarily have the wood and the trapping devices that surface water streams do. It's essentially an open, smooth conduit, so both chemicals and particles don't necessarily get trapped. They get transported pretty quickly through the system.
Karst, which is well drained, produces some of Southeast's largest trees, which attracts logging. Federal rules call for protection of caves and karst systems, but that hasn't always happened. Baichtal says the new information may point to some different considerations.
The effects of the activity can be proximal to where that stream goes underground, but if we protect those and manage adjacent to that, any additional effects are not on that landscape. The effects are in 24 hours, a mile and a half away at the salmon streams that those springs feed.
Not all the impacts are felt where the water comes out. There's life underground, insects and fish, on moist rocky shelves, and in the dark waterways.
We found some locations where you'll be walking up a dry channel for several hundred yards and you'll come across an entrance to a cave and there'll be fish, small fish, using that. So they're getting in and out through something subsurface that we're not able to see on the surface.
And we have both salmon spawning through the cave systems onto higher reaches of streams, and we have indication in several caves that they're actually spawning in the gravels in the bottom of the cave system.
So are these salmon going through fairly logical channels, or are they winding their way all over through the underground maze?
We'd love to know.
Yeah. We could put little video cameras on the salmon's heads and see where they go.
I've always dreamed of a small apparatus that that I could drop in an insurgence that would collect data on its way through it, and I'd pick it up at the end, and it would print out a map. But all we know is input and output.
Root and flow are among just two of the factors in the role underground channels play in forest life. Scientists are also looking at the different amount of rainfall that makes it to the ground in the old growth and younger forests returning after logging. The research could impact plans for managing thick stands of second growth trees in karst areas. Baichtal says thinning could provide the water needed to flush silt from cave channels narrowed or clogged during earlier logging. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting from Prince of Wales Island.